This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. First Financial Tax and Accounting Services Advantage Health Plan provides signature support for Talk Louisiana. Your number is 877-217-5757. Talk at talklouisiana.org is our email address. And we begin our show with Morgan LaMondre, the legal director for Sexual Trauma Awareness and Response Organization, known as STAR. She's held that post for about 6 years. And last Wednesday, she urged lawmakers to maintain strength of purpose if they intend to toughen policies and actions against sexual assault. And this was in response to the explosive revelations about what happened at LSU and the action taken by interim president Tom Galligan to suspend two employees, two high-ranking members of the athletic department staff, Virge Osberry for a month without pay and Miriam Seeger for 3 weeks without pay. And some believe the actions are too tame. And on Monday, the athletic director Scott Woodward was in the same chair that Morgan is, and he said he thought the actions were appropriate because it was murky as to how the Title IX system worked and that these employees were just doing the best they could in a tough situation. But some people believe that action is necessary, and this has repercussions all over the country. Les Miles, who has now been outed as a person who sexually harassed employees, is now out of a job at Kansas, probably more for a 3-18 record than for his actions at LSU. And King Alexander, the former president and chancellor of LSU, is on probation at Oregon State after a meeting yesterday in which he tried to make a case that he did what he thought was right at the time. And he says, acknowledges that he should have done more, but he was making a decision with the information he had at that time. Now, his interrogation included a few references to Morgan LaMondre by others and by him. And Morgan is here. What did you think?
Well, first, Jim, thanks for having me. And since we keep talking about sexual assault, I did want to first mention STAR's 24-hour hotline number. It's 855-435-STAR for anyone who may be a little bit overwhelmed by the conversation. But when I heard him talk about the references I made, he said that he was not going to call me a liar, but he does not recall to his recollection of ever overturning two cases. And he got into very specifics about he's never overturned investigations. Well, I never said he overturned investigations. He sent two cases back to have additional hearing panels. A hearing panel found perpetrators responsible. He overturned it on, you know, he would say some sort of basis of there was a due process violation. Then he would send it back for another hearing panel. I am not a liar, but survivors are reluctant to come forward with that information because of the experiences they had.
So are you saying that he misrepresented what happened?
Absolutely. And he continues to deny it, or he's getting into the semantics of, oh, well, I never overturned an investigation. No one said it was an investigation, but you certainly went back and sent it back to hearing panels.
What were the particulars of these cases as far as, were they athletes or students or?
No, they were, I mean, they were all dealing with students, but they were not
athletes. They were not athletes.
No, which I will say, you know, the people that STAR serves, obviously there were issues where it seems like people may not have been referred to STAR or gotten to us. In, I agree with the Hush Blackwell report insofar as it says this isn't, you know, although there's a focus on athletics, overall I would say it was just an overall campus issue, no matter who the student perpetrator was.
Well, the president of Oregon State University, F. King Alexander, yesterday he said Les Miles was a bad university citizen, that he was basically running his own kingdom across campus. But he was the president and chancellor. He could have done more than he did, and he opted not to. At the same time that a tenured professor, Teresa Buchanan, lost her job, or obviously lost her tenure too, despite the fact that she would normally be protected, for using profanity in the classroom. And I remember interviewing Kevin Cope, who at that time was head of the faculty senate, and he says, well, they're going to fire coaches for using profanity in front of students? Of course not. But Teresa Buchanan lost her gig at the same time that Les Miles was given free rein. I think I'm preaching to the choir here, but is there a disconnect as far as how one person was treated and the other?
Well, I think, yes, there is. I mean, and maybe they would fire coaches if they used profanity, if they had a losing season. I think it's easy to fire coaches for conduct when they're losing, but it certainly isn't easy, or at least I feel like they would be reluctant to if you're winning national championships.
And Les Miles was fired because he lost to Auburn in 2016. He was fired less than 24 hours after LSU lost at the final gun to Auburn. A touchdown pass that would have won it for LSU was called back, but that's why he was fired. He wasn't fired for any of these other misdeeds, and it appears that he went unabated and was acting inappropriately, and LSU knew it and allowed it. So what can be done to make sure this never happens again?
Well, I think, first of all, we have to have preventative measures in place. Like, for example, Jameis Winston, he's now going to be our Saints quarterback. Who thinks that's a good idea, considering his history? There are some common sense steps that people mm-hmm. can take. Obviously, it does require a culture shift. It requires everyone on campus saying mm-hmm. that type of behavior is unacceptable. And, you know, you had a caller yesterday that said, oh, times have changed. The way people view these issues are changed. First of all, women have never wanted anybody to touch us without our consent. What has changed is that we feel we have the ability to take action. We have people who will listen to us to essentially discipline people. We have never wanted people to touch us without our consent.
Well, maybe times have changed for the better.
Absolutely.
But Les Miles was making huge amounts of money. I mentioned yesterday on the governor's show that the current coach, Ed Orgeron, makes 50 times what the governor of Louisiana makes. 50 times. Governor makes $135,000 a year, which is a nice paycheck in the state of Louisiana, nice anywhere in the country, but the coach of the LSU football Tigers makes $7 million a year. And we tend to often view people, unfortunately, by what they earn. And suddenly this person takes on this great aura of power. And Les Miles, I mean, there was nothing exceptional about that guy. He wasn't the brightest bulb in the room. Certainly not a physically imposing man, even though he had played college football. But he was able to bully his way around campus because he won a national title in 2007 with Nick Saban's players, I might add. And he kept winning at a rate that was acceptable at LSU. He was winning about 10 games a season, which is good. And he was recruiting well. But how can we make sure that no matter how good the coach is, or great in some cases, if he is misbehaving, or she, that we do not allow this to go forward based on their one loss record as opposed to their actions with their staff, their players, and with the community at large?
Well, I think for one, we have to be able to clean house when it is necessary, or when we can't, you know, the reports about, oh, he was on some sort of monitored, Les Miles being on some sort of monitored plan. Oh, you can't be alone with you. That shouldn't have to happen. If that has to happen, then you shouldn't be there. We shouldn't be babysitting these coaches who can't do the right thing. So, I mean, that's for one.
877-217-5757 for Morgan Lamondre, the legal director of STAR. And Morgan, by the way, is an LSU graduate. And she, of course, I'm sure has some allegiance to her alma mater. But that goes out the window when people who are in high places behave inappropriately. Carolyn in the Garden District. Carolyn, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Hi, I was just calling to back up what Morgan was saying earlier about King Alexander. I was at LSU from 2016 to 2020, and when I started to notice all of these problems that we're talking about with the Title IX office, I tried several times to get in touch with King Alexander. I called him, I emailed him, I emailed his secretary, and nobody ever got back to me. So for him to say that he did his best at LSU is just laughable. I think maybe he can claim he didn't know about these issues, but he definitely chose not to look at these issues.
Were you an athlete, Carolyn?
No, just a student.
Just a student. And you say you made complaints, and I suspect if you went to these links, they were serious complaints as far as actions against you.
Well, it wasn't just that. It was as the process with Title IX was ongoing, I started to notice people at LSU, administrators who were actively going against federal policy, federal guidelines, and school guidelines. And so I thought that that would be something that he would want to address to make sure that this process is fair. And it wasn't until later that I learned that it wasn't just unfair for me, but it was even more unfair for people who had cases.
Hang tight. Stay with us, Carolyn. We'll be back. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle is producing. Our guest for another segment is Morgan LaMondre, the legal director for Sexual Trauma Awareness and Response, known as STAR. And Monday, and Carolyn is still with us in the Garden District. Monday on this show, Scott Woodward said that LSU is partnering with STAR to try to address matters that have been reported to have taken place during primarily the Les Miles era as head football coach. Is that a good idea? And what are you doing as far as partnering? Is it more than just window dressing?
Well, what we've been approached to do is consult with them on their policies and training. I would say that that's the kind of thing, though, I typically try to, punt to Rachel and Rebecca, our CEO, mm-hmm. president, and vice president, because they're involved with that. I'm very much unapologetically pro-survivor and, advocate for survivors and what they want. And obviously, we all work at the same organization, but, when it comes down to it, one of the things that I, made clear is that we, in any contracts and any consulting that we do, we make sure that those institutions know that we represent survivors first and foremost.
All right. And I think we've lost Carolyn, but thank you for calling. And it's always a difficult subject, and especially when a victim calls, and Carolyn indicates she attempted to contact LSU at the highest levels when King Alexander was president and got no response. And she said she was there from 2016 to 2020. So we thank her for calling. 877-217-5757 is your number. Henry at the Country Club of Louisiana, you're on with Morgan LaMondre. Hi, Henry.
Hope y'all having a great day today. I watched that Board of Trustees meeting yesterday afternoon, evening, off and on, and I noticed a couple of things. Number one, the diversity there versus the lack of diversity here as far as the makeup of the board. But just like any good college board, they didn't do a damn thing when the end of the day came. And unfortunately, I think that's half the problem right there.
Well, they were acting on information, kind of like King Alexander was acting on information. They split the baby, put him on probation, and I would imagine if King Alexander misbehaves, he'll be gone. But some believe that it was serious enough that he should have been fired yesterday. Do you share that observation, Morgan?
I definitely believe that that he's done nothing here, and he's done nothing at OSU for them to trust that he will take this issue seriously. Just the other day when there was a faculty forum, he couldn't answer basic questions about prevention, and he kept referring to his mother who did something with Title IX back in the day. That's not a good enough reason to show people it's an important issue to you.
877-217-5757, Egal and Sherwood, you're on Talk Louisiana. Good morning.
Good morning, Jim and Morgan. Morgan, you're my friend, and I admire and applaud what you do. Like your take on due process issues, specifically the due process rights of those students who are accused of wrongdoing on campus, do you think they should be able to have an attorney present? Do you think they should be able to have at any proceedings? Do you think they should be able to have the attorney participate in the proceedings? Do you think they should enjoy the right of cross-examination, which every accused everywhere in the United States of America enjoys? And do you think the standard for proving a case that can end a person's career and basically a person's entire civil existence in society should be by a standard of clear and convincing evidence?
Well, thank you, Yigal, and I do know Yigal, and yes, I actually do believe wholeheartedly in the due process rights of both the accused and the persons who are bringing complaints. And in fact, a lot of people were against certain types of participation for attorneys. I actually think it's a good thing for survivors and for those that are accused to have access to their attorney and for them to be able to cross-examine, because what I've seen is that the people involved, they are used to these proceedings being very academic in nature, as if it's cheating. So I actually do support cross-examination. And in fact, as long as it's equally something available to both parties, I think that as far as the burden of proof, I think that a preponderance of the evidence is a standard that's what needs to happen. That based on the fact that civil cases and liability right there is by a preponderance of the evidence. I do not believe it needs to be clear and convincing.
877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org in our remaining moments with Morgan LaMondre, the legal director for STAR, and Allison in Spanishtown asked whether Tom Galligan, the LSU president and chancellor interim, should step aside, or is he doing the best he can? What do you think?
I will say that when he apologized to survivors and the efforts he has taken, I see somebody who genuinely does care. I understand that a lot of people have not felt that he has made right decisions, but in all honesty, those decisions, it sucks that he has to be the one who makes them. It should have been King Alexander who was leading the school. I think that so far, I see him making efforts and doing the things that need to happen. It's not for me to decide if, he should step aside or not, but somebody needs to continue to step up. And so far, I do think that he's doing what needs to be done.
Well, King Alexander, now on the record, says Les Miles was basically trash. Joe Oliva said he should be fired. And yet, once again, those two men did not fire him until he lost to Auburn in 2016. They could have fired him any number of times before that and chose not to. Does that show a disproportionate reverence to who is football coach by people who are technically their bosses?
It seems to be the case. I mean, King Alexander kept saying it was the Board of Supervisors, and they're the ones who made the decision before he even got to the campus. With that being said, he could have, followed up on that information. Nobody seemed to be paying attention even after the fact. I think, it was like 3 years after he got there, Les Miles was still there. So I think that there was a lot of blame. King Alexander was blaming everyone else. He was saying that he was accountable, but yet not taking accountability.
Well, it's going to be fascinating to see what happens next. And this story is not over. There are still public records of requests. The Advocate's done an exceptional job covering this since USA Today broke the story. And they are on the trail. And I know there are stories that are coming that perhaps will not shed good light on people who were there then and now. And whether this stops, I don't know. But do you sense there is a public outcry now?
I get the sense that people want there to be, they want their alma mater, they want our flagship school to be clean. They don't want this to be on our hands. It does smear the university and the state. But I think we're focused a lot on LSU when it is the state, that there's so many other issues overall dealing with sexual assault response, that's where our outcry needs to be. And if the state would improve its response, so would the educational institutions.
And there are those who say the problems in the Greek system exceed the problems in the athletic department. That hasn't been talked about much of late.
Not lately, but I mean, I think it's certainly something you see there being more discussion about alcohol and hazing in the Greek system. But with that, there definitely is a lot of sexual assault that does happen.
Elizabeth on Jefferson Highway. Good morning.
Hi, Jim. I just tuned in on my way to an appointment, and let me be the devil's advocate for a moment here. I hear a lot about what the men have done, but how much is this a part of the human condition, and what part does the woman play in this? Like,
all right, hold on, Elizabeth. A provocative comment, and we can't just let it go, and we'll be back after the news with more. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Just a few more minutes with Morgan Lamondre, the legal director for Sexual Trauma Awareness and Response. Hopefully we'll also hear from Mark Mallard. And before we went to the break, a provocative call from Elizabeth on Jefferson Highway. I recognize as Elizabeth Dent Sumrall, who said we have to take into account what the women did to provoke this kind of behavior. Well, in this case, I don't know what the women did. I think they're victims. They certainly didn't provoke physical assault, which Drake Davis and Darius Geis have been accused of. They didn't provoke Les Miles into saying he only wanted blondes with big breasts in his office. Elizabeth, what in the world are you talking about?
Well, I think that it's healthy to hear both sides of the story. We hear a lot from the women that go, like, they raped me. But yesterday I was perusing an article, and the woman had taken a shower in the room. She laid down on the bed to take a nap in her robe. And I don't know if you watched any of the Grammys. I did the research after I saw one of the winners. But I've never seen on television such seductive moves in all of my life. And I have one foot in the world from 1940 and 50s and 60s and 70s. And one foot in today's world, and they are diametrically opposed at what I'm seeing and what's happening.
Well, I'll let Morgan respond, Elizabeth. But no matter how I saw the clips of the Grammys, but no matter how somebody is dressed, it has nothing to do with whether they should be treated poorly. And of course, men dress provocatively as well, but. That has nothing to do with sexual assault. Sexual assault is more about power than it is about sex. And Elizabeth, you and I have been acquaintances and friends for a long time, but I think you're dead wrong on this.
Yes. And I mean, Elizabeth, the problem with playing the devil's advocate is you are advocating for the devil. So to suggest that somebody who took a shower and then laid in a bed and all, that they somehow brought that on. People need to control themselves. It has nothing to do with anyone. We are only vulnerable when we're in the presence of danger. So to suggest that somehow taking a shower in the same room gives somebody license to that other person's body is just completely absurd. I mean, like I said, We could be drunk, we could be naked. Nothing is going to happen to us unless we're in the presence of somebody who is a predator. So that is just completely, you're just victim blaming. And I don't know if that's internalized oppression or if that's what you've been taught, but that is not okay.
But
and anything
minute,
that has ever happened to
call,
people.
I didn't call to be analyzed by you. Believe me, I am not the devil. And I think
I didn't say you were
becoming a world. Yes, you did.
I
and
said you're
I think
advocating
we're becoming
for the devil.
A world of tattletales. I am not advocating for the devil. I don't hang around with him. I don't even know him. So for you to accuse me of that is totally improper.
All right. Thank you, Elizabeth. Appreciate you calling in. Let's go to Rivers in Capitol Heights. Rivers, you're on with Morgan. Hi, Rivers.
Hi, I just want to say that I've been following the way that y'all have dealt with this recent caller, and I just want to commend both of you on the answers that you've had, because my heart dropped when I heard Miss Elizabeth call in, and no doubt that she's had some different experiences, but I just wanted to thank y'all for having this conversation and understanding that rendition of the devil's advocate is not appropriate in any way, because that is blaming a victim for their own suffering. And I just wanted to thank y'all so much from the bottom of my heart for how well that y'all answered that.
All right. Well, thank you, Rivers. Appreciate your nice words. Rose on Jefferson Highway. Rose, you're on with Morgan LaMondre.
Hi, Morgan. Thank you so much for being here this morning and contributing so much to this conversation. And I wanted to respond as well to what the caller Elizabeth had to say. I'm not a devil's advocate, but I think that we do need to understand that there are generations and generations of women who grew up with this message that women are responsible for controlling or somehow suppressing men's sexual appetite, even though the issues of sexual assault have nothing to do with sexual appetite. They have to do with the desire to control and to have power over other people. But for generations, that was not the message that got around. And even today, I think we see on the LSU campus, as well as so many other university campuses, what women can do to prevent being assaulted, rather than the message going out, what men can do not to assault. there's so much word play out there about how to keep yourself safe if you're a woman, how to not be a victim. And there's so little out there about how not to victimize. So I think that this is a long-standing cultural problem that we have. And getting through to people like the caller who suggested that some of the responsibility is on women for wanting to take a shower without being raped, we need to reframe the way we present these issues to people who cannot grasp that it really is in the control of people who are perpetrators.
Thank you so much, Rose. Let's go to Katie in South Baton Rouge. Hi, Katie.
Hi, how are you?
Fine.
I just wanted to call in and just say that Morgan is a wonderful asset to the community. She's making huge strides and grounds and changing the mindset of that previous caller, other people like the previous caller. And I appreciate her. And I hope that she continues to, change minds in the legislature, at least.
Well, thank you very much, Katie. Final thoughts from you, Morgan?
Just that, I have a very visceral reaction when people blame survivors. I work with them every day, and they already blame themselves. And right now, yes, I agree with the other caller about what true prevention is, but we need to push back on people and be very assertive about where the blame lies, and it is never with the survivors.
Thank you, Morgan LaMondre. And then the number for STAR again is 855-435-STAR, 855-435-STAR. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Mark Ballard, Capital Bureau Chief from The Advocate, is with us, as is our Thursday tradition. And, Mark, today I didn't get The Advocate in my house. I put a dollar in the machine at Louis and got yesterday's Advocate, went to Albertson's, no Advocate. I think there were some production issues last night.
It's the same problem as we were having with the phones this morning, and that apparently the storm last night caused a surge at the printing plant, and they were on the phones late into the night, in Amsterdam and Germany, trying to get it all fixed and printed. It's been printed. It's now on its way out. This didn't apply to anybody in Acadiana, because apparently the press run for Acadiana had already happened when the storm surge came. So it was
well,
and it also fried our phones this morning as well. So
well, and we had some challenges getting you, but I'm glad we have you now. And it's been a a fascinating week, and the story that we just talked about is one that continues to have legs and repercussions. And yesterday, King Alexander was on the brink of being fired at Oregon State based on his actions at LSU. You've been following this. Mark Spyline's been there with Andrea Gallo, who's doing great work. Brooks Cabina's been on this story. Sam Carlin, you were covering it with Ernest. And as I stated, Mark, it's not over.
It's not over. It's going to happen for a while. Andrea Gallo is really kind of the lead reporter, and the rest of us jump in to help out on this. And she's done a wonderful job, I think, at any rate. But it looks like F. King Alexander is going to be put on probationary status out in Oregon State for basically mishandling Les Miles' situation back when he was president. And he's regretted. He's wrote a letter saying he regretted the way that he handled it. So, but I think that we're going to see a lot more of it, of problems that are popping out. We've already got the head of the medical school up in Shreveport kind of on the brink of another report. So yeah. This is going to go on for a while, I think.
Well, many times when men get caught up in actions, it's people of our vintage who lived in a different time. That doesn't mean that all of us are like that. I hope not. But and for those who say,
I am not.
Well, I know you're not, and I don't think I am either. But some people in our age group are still living in the 1950s and 60s, and that is true that what happened then, and I mentioned yesterday, state officials who sexually harassed employees, married men who were state office holders, elected officials who had affairs with people on their staff. That used to be commonplace in Louisiana, but it's changed, and I think Morgan LaMondre is right. It's changed for the better.
I mean, well, yes, I think she's right, and it has changed for the better. I know very few people who did this, though it seemed like in popular media and culture that there were a lot of people, and we're now seeing the reports that there were a lot of people who kind of fought into that. There seems to be more premeditation. They knew you can't just blame it on the culture, you know, because everybody was doing it. I mean, you take a look yesterday, the LSU Faculty Senate President Mandy Lopez was pointed out that LSU administrators had fired a woman professor who had used profane language and descriptions of what we're talking about.
While they kept Les Miles. And we'll talk more with Mark when we return. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. We always enjoy hearing from you. 877-217-5757. Mark Ballard is with us, Capital Bureau editor at The Advocate, and over the last several weeks, he and his staff have been covering the LSU story with Ernest, and it's a story about humanity, not only at LSU, but across the world. But what happened at LSU, as we know, is unacceptable. Les Miles is a pariah now, and for good reason. King Alexander's on the ropes at Oregon State. Joe Oliva, who did call for the firing of Les Miles, he has been a non-entity as far as speaking about this, and he is now in forced retirement after being fired at LSU. But some other people who knew about these allegations are still around. And Mark, a few people have commented about the three board members who were appointed by Bobby Jindal who knew about it. And you have reported, and the former governor has not responded, that chances are he knew about it. And here he is commenting about Andrew Cuomo, of which he probably doesn't know much about any more than we do, and not commenting about something he probably did know about in Les Miles. Is that curious?
It is in many aspects. It's certainly ironic for the irony impaired. But, you know, as a politician, you know, he's looking to talk about other people, you know, and cast aspersions and take it away from his own culpability in this.
All right. We'll get to Patrick in Innisfail Estates, and there is a line open, 877-217-5757, in our remaining moments with Mark. But Kelly Hurtado says, does anyone find it odd that the only two individuals who have to this date been disciplined are a white woman and a black man, when the majority of power is in the hands of white males and the majority of misconduct historically for thousands of years?
Yeah, yes, it does. I mean, we have to look at that who was there at the time, and those people, Les Miles and F. King Alexander, are being disciplined, you know, left and right. The three board members that knew about this are no longer on the board, and so I mean, yes, it is, but there seem to be fewer people involved in this than one should have been in the first place, but who they can discipline.
Patrick in Innisfail Estates. Patrick, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Hey, this kind of goes to your other guest, but Samantha Brennan, she never pressed charges when this guy took pictures of her. And now, like 4 or 5 years later, after fact, she's making a big deal about it. And I'm just wondering, you know, why? I mean, I'm not trying to victim blame, but I mean, why didn't she press charges 4 or 5 years ago when this happened?
Sometimes people are traumatized to the point where they wouldn't act as they ordinarily would. I don't know why, but Mark doesn't absolve the actions. It does make it harder for a prosecutor, though. Killer Moore has to have those pictures. He can't just do this on her word. It wouldn't work before a jury. He has to make that call. But the question that Patrick asks is, why don't people talk about it at the moment? Well, at the moment, they may be so traumatized that they're not thinking the way they do after they have time to reflect.
Yeah, exactly. I can't possibly put myself into a victim's mindset to come up with that. But the other thing that we do know and can keep in mind is that all the signals that she was receiving from, and any victim at LSU at the time were receiving from the people in power was, you know, shut up, don't talk about this, you know, and so, and that if you do talk about this, then you could become the target of all of this. And that was the kind of culture, at least that President Callaghan has been talking about this, that was in a part of LSU that he's trying to change.
All right. Bill Huey says that King Alexander might have refrained from firing Les Miles because of the huge buyout that would have been involved at a time when there were huge budget cuts. It may have been a financial consideration.
However, there is a section in his in everyone's contract at LSU, at least among the executives, and it's a morals clause. They could have fired him for cause, and we could have saved $15 million. We, the taxpayers of the state, could have saved $15 million that we paid out. And that was a choice that F. King Alexander made, because if they would have fired him for cause, as was what they were saying that they ought to do, and then he would have been sent off to perdition without the $15 million of my money.
Well, I did say we would talk about other matters. There isn't much time to do that, so I think we'll talk about the upcoming session next week when we have a chance to visit with you, Mark. And there are other things happening in the world, as we know, but this is an important issue, and the advocate reporting has been exceptional, and I commend you and your staff for what you've done in the last month, because it has been remarkable reporting. And you mentioned Andrea Gallo. It's not like she doesn't cover other things. She's also on the Jeff Landry trail and covering other stories.
Yeah, but well, we're all kind of busy because we're, you know, don't have as many reporters as we once
no,
did.
That's true. But a listener does ask, and we just have a few seconds, but I didn't see the hearing yesterday, but when they went into executive session in Oregon, at Oregon State, apparently the journalists were allowed to go in. They just, quote, can't report what happens while they're in executive session, but they're allowed to listen, which is kind of interesting. I don't think, you know, and I've been members of panels that have gone into executive session, and now I regret ever doing that. I don't think it's ever appropriate to go into executive session, but that's an interesting law in Oregon.
It is. Nowhere near this. In fact, I think one of the biggest problems that LSU Board of Supervisors has is that they are required not to speak to independently to the public. I mean, meaning me for the most part, is that they can't speak to a reporter about anything or anything of any consequences. It all has to go through the chairman. And because I speak to a lot of them off the record, and that is one complaint that they continue to have, and that they all can say is one of the underlying problems that we have at LSU, is a sort of control of information. And so to do what they do in Oregon State is remarkable.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mark. We'll talk next week. Good to hear from you, my friend.
Okay.
Keep up the good work.